Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you're going to see this New England Patriots team behind that guy right there, Drake May, make a playoff appearance.
The future is bright with him. I think they got a good one. I think they know that. He's where he wants to be and is developing the way they want him to. And, you know, when they talk before the season about surprise teams, you know, that are improving, there's always teams that miss the playoffs one year and make it the next year, at least four. That's been the, you know, Jacksonville and New England were a couple that were mentioned around the AFC. So Vrabel, they hang on to the ball. They hang on for the win easily. 42-13.
Final hour, Jones and Keith. Patriots Monday here on WEEI. If you want to hear Patriots quarterback Drake May, you can tune into WEEI Afternoons. He joins them every Patriots Monday right here on WEEI. You can listen live on the Audacy app as well. AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. Patriots 42-13 winners over Carolina yesterday. They're 2-2 through the first month of the year, which is the minimum of what they had to do, Keith. I think when we went through in the preseason, we both had them 3-1. I had them losing in Miami, but winning the Vegas and Pittsburgh games, and then also
it doesn't matter how you get there,
winning this Carolina game,
right?
So I had them 3-1, but 2-2 is, you know, right within shouting distance of that. You couldn't have started 1-3,
right,
with the big game on Sunday Night Football against the Bills in Buffalo. First of three on the road, but after this Bills game, and I think they can make a statement by not even winning the game, it's at New Orleans, at Tennessee. Easy games, although they're both on the road. Home against Cleveland. Defense has been great. Who knows who will start for them at quarterback. And then Atlanta on November 2nd at home, who just lost a week ago, 30-0 to Carolina.
Right.
So,
now, I don't know. It opens up. Schedule opens up a bit.
That feels like a string of wins that you can let your mind wander and wonder what this team is capable of doing based purely on a blowout over Carolina yesterday. It's crazy how much the one win does change the whole trajectory, because if they lost that game, and even if they held on tight against a bad Carolina team, we might feel a lot different. This lets you look at the remaining schedule after Buffalo and go, boy, there's a lot of potential wins right there.
Well, I'd take it one step further. If they beat Buffalo, it is going to be like, remember in 2021 where you're like, I think the Pats are going to make the Super Bowl and play Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Should we get ready? Should we travel to the Super Bowl?
And you're like, boats.
Oh, no, they're actually just fake good.
Oh, yeah, weren't they the betting favorite after like week 10?
Yeah, were they 9-2?
I remember specifically Ryan Clark comparing Belichick to God. I specifically remember that, so I don't know if they
That's what it was. No. It was after they beat Buffalo in the wind game.
Yeah.
They went into their bye week 9-4.
Yeah.
And the AFC was kind of like open, I guess. And then they lost two of their final three and then got waxed in the playoff game. But there was definitely a lot of hype then, like people were all fired up, and you're right. You'd only be 3-2, but if you beat the Bills, it's like that's like feels like 10 wins. And you're like, oh my god, now like sky's the limit. But I'm with you. I would take just a competitive performance. I think that that's also a statement that could be made.
I'm sure we'll have criticisms that they lose the game in a close game, but they can make a statement by hanging with Buffalo on national TV, and that means a statement to the rest of the country. Like, oh, Mike Vrabel might have the Patriots playing well. Now look, you get blown out. Maybe we feel differently, but the schedule really opens up after that.
Oh,
and
my God, yeah.
When we say yesterday was more about the Patriots than the Panthers, and trust me, the Panthers are horrible, that's why I feel that way, because there's a lot more teams like the Panthers on the schedule coming up for the Pats. And I feel better about it, too, because of the way Diggs played. Yeah, I said this a bunch, Keith. I was wrong about Diggs from when they signed him. I didn't think he'd be back on the field this soon. And I didn't think he had a 100-yard game in him. on Sunday, like going into the game. I wanted them to feed him more.
Yeah.
I didn't think that many would have 100 yards and look as good as he looked yesterday in a game where they throttled down early in the fourth quarter because they didn't need to throw it. They only threw 17 total times in the game yesterday. So I just don't think or didn't think that's what Diggs was capable of doing or would he be able to do yesterday. And that does change my outlook on the offense. If you have a number one, even if it's not Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Chase Brown, even if it's not one of those guys,
right?
This offense hasn't had a guy like that in how the last time was Edelman before he got hurt.
I was going to say it was like the 2020 version of Edelman who got hurt right away. Like week, he looked good early, had that
week two against Seattle.
Yeah.
That's the week two against Seattle is the last time they had a receiver capable of this.
Well, the last 1,000-yard receiver was Edelman in 2019.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's been so long. And so you're right. You need that guy that is the clear cut number one. And then it allows, you know, Hunter Henry to have big games like he's had already this year, or, you know, maybe the backs. And it seems like each of the backs could even take turns on being the top target in the pass game. But yeah, it's not riddled with all pros. You know, he's not lining up back there like he's with the Eagles or even like the Niners when they're healthy. But it's so much better than it's been the last couple of years. Plus, also, you got to put it on the quarterback, too. Like, he needs to play well, which he has. And that's going to make the offense a lot better. Because you see guys – now, this is the extreme. I'm not comparing him to Mahomes or Allen. But they don't have a lot of guys around him. No. Like, literally, Mahomes comically has Tyquan Thornton and Juju Smith-Schuster to throw to.
Yep.
And has four touchdown passes yesterday and whatever. But, I mean, he's as good as he is. But it goes to show you that – the supporting cast is very important, but the quarterback is still the most important. So at some point, you'd have to sort of put it on those guys to get the most of what's around them.
Text line says, what is hanging with Buffalo? We said if they quote-unquote hang with them, they can make a statement.
Like, is it a one-score game in the fourth quarter?
So they're 8.5-point dogs, I think, when I looked this morning. Maybe it's moved. But I thought I saw they were 8.5-point dogs in Buffalo on Sunday night. The game last year at Buffalo, they lost 24-21. Drake May was a rookie. He went 22-36, 261, two touchdowns and a pick.
7.5 now.
7.5.
Oh, yeah. Sucker's better buying opportunity.
I still think it's a buying opportunity, but I would have rather have bought at 8.5.
Yep.
6 carries for 30 yards. And what were they up in that game? 14-0 right away? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. But they were up in that game. Mm-hmm. I want to say 14-0. So something like that. Where last year, that team really felt like it was going nowhere. Drake started the final game of the year. Milton replaced him. They won a game they probably shouldn't have late in the season.
Well, like you feel it in these games too.
Something
like, as you
like that game in Buffalo last year, to me, would be hanging with them.
Well, I think there's also, and it's not always the score necessarily. It's hard to like give you an exact score or separation. But like in the fourth quarter, there are games where you're like, Team X still has a chance. Like do they still have a chance? Or are you just like, no. Like, there's, like, the momentum of the game. Like, I know they're only down 10, but, like, Buffalo's controlling the game. Like, they're completely dominating the game. We all know when we see it. So, I think as long as it's still, like, anybody's game back half of the fourth quarter, you're like, good for them. Like, that's good. That's at least a sign of, you know, improvement and something that they really weren't capable of the last few years.
Drake May was talking about Steph Diggs after the game. That connection was looking pretty good. May noticed a little something in Steph Diggs yesterday that he hadn't seen. Let's hear from the Patriots quarterback.
Drake May.
Yeah. We'll be on the afternoon show today.
Oh, yeah, you could check
him out. How about Drake May and Marcus Jones?
Oh, big day. No, you know what? Big day to talk to Marcus Jones. You're right.
Great day to talk to Marcus. It's always a good day to talk to Marcus Jones.
Here is Drake May on Steph Diggs.
Drake, you had told us during the week that, you know, you wanted to get going with Steph and find him. How good was it to kind of see him get behind the defense on a couple of plays and for you to find him?
Yeah, he looked a little faster than I thought. He looked pretty fast. I think he's just keeping me more comfortable. He's a great player with the ball in his hands, and he's a great leader on this team. You know, he's great with energy, you know, being positive, and, you know, glad he's a Patriot.
Okay. Looked a little faster. I do. He dropped a golly yesterday, too. Did you hear that?
Golly is a good one.
He dropped a golly and golly. Shoots every other word.
Any shucks out of him yet?
I haven't heard a shucks.
I feel like he could be an aw shucks.
Do you think his mom calls him up and she's like, hey, Drake, if you keep that up.
Cool it with the mouth.
We're going to have to get the soap.
Yeah.
You're getting a little loose there. But exactly. I heard a golly. I heard some shoots.
Shoot.
But no, I actually agree with him. Steph Diggs looked more explosive yesterday than he had. Now, that might be Carolina's defense. Or it could, be a guy looking healthier, further and further removed from the ACL. But a 33-yard play is by far the most explosive one he had. He had the back shoulder catch on the near sideline on fourth down as well. So those were big, explosive plays that we hadn't really seen out of him.
Yeah, because part of it was we're like, hey, you got to give him the ball more, give him the ball more. But then there's also like, well, is he going to do anything with it? Like, what is it? Are we just wishing it because he has been good in the past? But no, yesterday was good to see that because I thought we saw flashes of it in the even the first game of the season where I was like, is he even out there? And then just before you were about to say that, he'd make a nice play, right? Or he'd catch the ball on the sideline. You're like, okay, he can do it. But still, it was really like wishful thinking, like that he was going to be able to have a game like yesterday. So he's going to feel great about that. I mean, we're less than a year ago, he blows out his ACL on the field, and now he's back. He's already played four games this year and a 100-yard game. Nothing to sneeze at. I know Booty had a 100-yard game week one, but that's another stat that was pretty few and far between. We mentioned the 1,000-yard receiver, but even just the one-off good game was not very common for the Patriots offense the last 5 years.
Nope. So look, I thought Diggs looked as good as he's looked in a Patriots uniform, which is self-evident. I also like that, A, the targets went back up. Targets had been going down the last, I think it went 7-5-3, something like that, going into this game. He had 7 yesterday, caught 6 of them for over 100 yards. And secondarily, I like the way Diggs has been talking for the last week or so. I like his answers. I know he's been a problem in Minnesota and Buffalo. I assume he was probably an issue in Houston as well since they didn't want him back. So that's been part of his story. But the last week plus especially, I like most of what he said, including in the post game yesterday. So I think that's trending in the right direction as well. Meanwhile, Keith.
Yes.
This continues to come up. I guess Wiggy was on this earlier today.
All right.
We read you the tweet this morning. A.J. Brown on Twitter, after 2 catches on 9 targets for 7 yards in a win.
Yeah, they're undefeated.
The Eagles are 4-0.
7 big yards, though.
Jalen Hurts couldn't complete a pass in the second half of that game. So A.J. Brown takes to social media and says, quote, "If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene.
No.
Shrug your shoulders and be on your way." Okay. So that's A.J. Brown after the game.
We'll see.
Mike in Laconia wants to discuss that. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Hey, fellas. How are we doing today?
Pretty great.
Pretty good, yeah. So I did. I heard what you mentioned that today. I thought that'd be a pretty good addition to our team. Maybe let it go for a second-round pick, maybe a third. I don't know, but I think that would complement Steph, and that's intriguing. But also, I wanted to find out how many times are we going to line up in the damn neutral zone.
Good question. If it's Kalavon Jason, it's going to be more.
Just trying to get that little extra edge. You want to get whatever advantage you possibly can.
If it's Kalavon Jason, he's going to keep doing it until Vrabel benches him. Vrabel disciplined no one. He disciplined no one yesterday.
Yesterday was what about Ellis? Anthony Jennings.
What about our guy Ellis?
Is Ellis lining up in the neutral zone?
Oh, no. But, like, missed tackles, that's discipline. But wait, you're talking about.
What were you saying? I thought Chasen had
yesterday wasn't Chasen. It was Anthony Jennings.
Well, Chasen had a penalty. It wasn't a neutral zone one. Whatever. He's been lining up constantly wrong.
He got the one where it was, like, a phantom face mask, I think. Like, he hit him in the helmet, but wasn't really a face mask.
Regardless, Vrabel has disciplined exactly no one. And I guess it worked out. Team responded. So, it's not how I would have handled Ramondre or Pop or some of the penalties. The guys who continue to get flagged over and over and over again. Christian Ellis benched for the second straight game and then got more time after the blowout was on because Gibbons did play pretty well, Keith, to your point, in there. Look, I'm all for them trading for A.J. Brown. I don't know that he's actually going to be available. And if they do, they wouldn't give up what it took to get DK Metcalf. They wouldn't give up what it took to get George Pickens to then turn around and pay those guys. I doubt they do it with A.J. Brown, too. But, of course, I'd be on board with A.J. Brown.
Oh, my God. In a second. I'd trade a first-round pick for A.J. Brown.
I was just
going
to say.
McCollum mentioned second and third.
What do you think he'd cost?
Well, he might not cost a first. Guys go for less all the time now. Now, he initially went for a first, but he was 4 years younger when he got traded from Tennessee to Philly, much to the chagrin of Mike Vrabel. And we've seen guys like Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams previously and some others go for a first. He's still under 30, which could maybe warrant at least asking for a first. But if he actually did get traded, maybe it is a second and something else or two twos, but whatever, like legitimately whatever it is, I would do it for A.J. Brown.
Yeah, and I think if you have any qualms about his production this year, I think you saw everything you needed to with A.J. Brown in the second half last week where they were down to the Rams, they had to throw, and he was dominant. But the rest of the time, they don't really need to throw a lot in Philadelphia. They don't.
No, Barkley's having a down year too.
He is.
But yet they're 4-0. Brown and Barkley haven't done much, and they're 4-0.
They play defense.
Yeah.
They run well. Yeah. They do the stupid tush-push nonstop.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, maybe A.J. Brown will get disgruntled over it and he'll wind up leaving town because of it, but he can still play. He showed it in the second half against the Rams. But, again, I don't know how realistic it is, A, that he moves, and B, the Patriots are that team. I mean, Metcalf was awesome yesterday.
Yeah.
George Pickens was awesome on Sunday Night Football. As far as I could tell, they showed no interest in either of those guys.
Those were
receivers that were available that could have upgraded the receiver room, and they showed zero interest.
My hope would be the Mike Vrabel connection is different than that.
That's fair.
Where guys would say, well, I don't really know DK Metcalf. Like, we're good with what we have. Or I don't want to give up anything. If Mike Vrabel was going to tell his guys we need to go all in for a player, I would think it would be him more than anybody else. Because remember, there was some of that talk in the offseason, but then it got poo-pooed, and Philly's like, no way. And obviously Philly winning the Super Bowl, it would have been crazy probably for them to deal him right in the aftermath. But it was already somewhat rocky, and you're like, all right, well, maybe winning the Super Bowl will move on from anything. But I don't think A.J. Brown has completely forgotten how he feels overall.
No.
And if he doesn't like getting, you know, Jalen Hurts throwing on the ball at his sneakers and then them just being like, we can win with running and defense, that's not what he wants to do.
No.
He wants the ball more, and he should.
What'd you think? You were asking me about this. What'd you think of the lack of discipline from Vrabel for Stevenson? And, I mean, Pop Douglas had his snaps scaled back, but to your point, you
have
to scale back against Miami. That could just be where he's at in the offense.
I think especially with the emergence yesterday of Steph Diggs really having a good game and then not really throwing the ball much, Pop Douglas was their fourth receiver anyway. I'm waiting for him to get passed by Kyle Williams. Like, when is that going to happen? But, yeah, Pop Douglas not really – I think, or did he get passed?
I think he did, but how many of those were late when they kind of changed things up? I think Williams did play more.
I know
snaps.
Kyle Williams had the carry, but he didn't get targeted in the pass game either.
No, although there was a play in the first half, they had a play dialed up for Kyle Williams where May was looking for it, and
they had it
covered, but they had a play action pass dialed up for Kyle Williams.
But specifically to Ramondre Stevenson, I guess the one thing would be he did kind of tell us this.
Oh, I lied. Williams only played 14 snaps.
What did Pop play?
Oh, no, that is. You know, you're right. It's eight. He played. He did play more. So he's
fifth receiver then. So he's this close to being inactive anyway, regardless of him knowing how to run forward for a yard.
How much of those are, again, once the game was over? I don't know the full breakdown. He did end up playing more snaps. So, look.
No, but the Stevenson thing, we talked about it last week. I wouldn't have played him. I wouldn't have cut him. I think that was too reactionary. But I would have not played him.
I would have cut him.
No, who, Ramondre?
Oh, no,
I'm talking about Ramondre.
I would have cut Pop. I wouldn't have cut Ramondre.
Pop, see you later. I'm saying Ramondre.
I would have taken
crazy.
Both their uniforms.
Yes.
And Vrabel didn't. So
I didn't like that, but he did kind of tip his hand. So it's the opposite of Mayo insofar as last year they're like, hey, Mayo, are you going to do anything? He's like, yeah, he's not going to start. And then he starts. There's just no communication
at
with these guys.
At least the messaging is clear.
He was like, this time, he's like, we got to play our best guys.
Mm-hmm.
So he still clearly thinks Ramondre is their best guy. And I think he made it clear to Josh, too, like, first play of the game, give him the ball.
Yeah, no, that felt like a message.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I just think...
It could pay off.
It could.
We'll see.
But
if he fumbles again, fumbles on Sunday Night Football against the Bills...
Much of it is that you guys have seen all of Ramondre's fumbles? For Vrabel, Ramondre has fumbled twice.
Yeah, but Vrabel knows.
Yeah, okay, but you got to know.
But first of all, he fumbled the second time because Vrabel didn't sit him down.
And the second time was like in the end zone, practically.
Now, he didn't get any goal line touches.
Look, that's true. Yeah. Gibson got those, and Henderson eventually got one yesterday. That is true.
Look, on any time touchdown with Gibson!
If I were Vrabel, I wouldn't have sat him down week three either.
Yeah.
I would have let him stay in there after the first fumble against Pittsburgh. But Vrabel knows the history, and Vrabel's asked about this early in the offseason. About Ramondre. So just because Vrabel wasn't the coach here doesn't mean he doesn't know Ramondre Stevenson's fumbling history. The Steelers were well drilled on it. They knew it. They were coached up on it. And so it exists whether Vrabel was here or not. So the lack of a message, did the team respond to it this week? That's hard to tell. Carolina's awful. But yeah, if you keep going to Stevenson and you didn't send a message and the fumbles come back, that's going to be a reflection on Vrabel. But for 1 week it worked. Give him credit for that, I guess. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on Mike Vrabel, your thoughts on the Patriots at 2-2 going into a big one on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills this weekend on Sunday Night Football. You'll hear from Drake May and Marcus Jones today on WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy here on a Patriots Monday. We'll get you the clip du jour, and it's time for Grab Bag.
Grab Bag.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
It is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. Grab Bag is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. It was week four for the Bozo Touchdown Parlay. I took a stab, Jones. I said, you know what? I'm not afraid of the Dublin game. I'll take a 9:30 a.m. start.
It is bold.
And I was wrong. So I cost us the Bozo right off the rip. Justin Jefferson, they threw him the ball every single time. And he also fell at like the 10-yard line. So he owes us a lot of money.
Yeah, I must have missed. That was early in the game. The Turf Monster got him.
It was like late first half, I think.
Okay.
He had like almost 100 yards receiving at halftime.
Those early London games are tricky. I didn't catch everything
Dublin.
In that one. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Dublin.
Early European game.
Have a
game.
Pint
right.
Guinness and enjoy the game.
Dublin, my mistake.
Yeah.
But the early game will throw you for
but
a
you
loop.
Hit, though. Puka Nacua.
Oh, thank
one.
You for bringing that up. I didn't want to brag. But yes, Puka did get into the end zone. I don't think anybody else.
Nobody else, did, but it was competitive.
Yeah. Michael Penix.
Matthew Golden, I feel like, was the right call. Love threw three, two of them to Dobbs. And Golden was close.
No, three would have had a walk-in if he didn't fall over.
I feel like Dobbs was actually the right call.
Oh, Dobbs would have been better in hindsight.
I think Dobbs would have been the one.
That's true. But anyway, live to play another day. We'll be back for week five.
Grab bag.
Boy, after five and done.
Grabbed. Grab bags.
Was a swimmer of 69.
Survivor pool rolling right along here on Jones and Keefe. Of course, Billy and Nick were eliminated last week. So this week it was just you, me, and Terp.
Mm.
You and me both took the Bills, so we advance. And Terp took the Lions, so Terp alive. As well.
Yeah, Terp, Bills was a rockier road than I expected in that game. But
I know, I looked at the scoreboard and I'm like, wait a minute.
We're all still alive. Well, the three of us are still alive.
Three of us are alive, yep.
Jones and Keefe, grab bag. Jones and Keefe, Jones and Keefe, Jones and Keefe, grab bag. Jones and Keefe, grab bag. Jones and Keefe, Jones and Keefe. Jones and Keefe, grab bag.
The baseball playoffs begin tomorrow, obviously highlighted by Red Sox and Yankees at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Of course, here every game right here on WEEI throughout the postseason run. The other American League wildcard matchup is also a division matchup. Guardians and Tigers. I don't know how you feel about that. You think the Guardians keep it rolling?
Guardians smoke them.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
National League, Dodgers do not get a bye. It's the Brewers and the Phillies that get the byes. It'll be Dodgers, Reds, and then it'll be Cubs, Padres. So really the biggest note to me was the Mets choked it away. The Mets
tough.
failed to make the postseason. Actually had the same record as the Reds, but lost the tiebreaker.
Second year in a row, the second the Mets are eliminated. Last year it was, was that the Yankees last year? That was the Yankees, excuse me. Yeah. The Mets actually wound up getting Juan Soto. I did like Pete Alonso, though, this year.
Yeah, what's Pete up to?
He's like, they get knocked out of the playoffs. He's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm opting out. By the way, I'll see you guys.
Pete Alonso.
I'm going to the highest bidder. Oh, I think...
big right stick here, first
I think
base?
That's a borderline perfect fit here. If you want to get ahead of your... how do you spend the Devers money?
On the polar bear.
That's how you spend it. On a big right-handed bat that can play first base and DH.
Yes.
Perfect fit. Go get the polar bear.
Go get him.
Yeah.
Now come inside. He took the legend for its fall. You saw the product of it all. Now televisions in the air. Now circumcisions on the chair. You made the weapons for us all. Just look at us now. Why can't you see that you are my
grab bag?
Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Ryder Cup. I know a lot of people are hot and bothered about the Ryder Cup. A lot of coverage of the Ryder Cup.
Oh, the dads were buzzing at fall baseball about the Ryder Cup.
Well,
yesterday.
I'll tell you, there was a little bit of a comeback effort put on by the Americans, who dug themselves quite a bit of a hole.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it was Team Europe winning the 2025 Ryder Cup by a score of 15-13. Americans, really, the single matches on Sunday. They did very well.
Made a big run.
Yeah. But ultimately didn't win.
Not great. No, if they could make a putt on Saturday, they would have won this thing going away. They had a million chances to take over on Saturday and miss putt after putt after putt. I didn't appreciate Rory crying after the fact. You catch any of that?
Rory was doing a lot. Yeah, he was
a lot of whining and crying out of Rory.
I didn't really watch any of this, but there was a comedian who was in charge of like hosting the event.
I was unaware of this.
She started an FU Rory chant.
I saw some videos. Well, Rory's wife also got a drink dumped on her at one point.
I don't love that.
But just the whole idea where he's like, this is unacceptable. This isn't what golf is about. Like the whole weekend, like grow up.
I don't like Rory at all.
Yeah.
I don't know if like the host of your event should be starting an FU Rory chant.
Yeah. So I guess that was Heather McMahon. I heard Courtney talking about this morning. I saw some of the videos. Some of the pump up videos were embarrassing. I don't know if she was involved in that too.
Yeah.
Or if there were other people. Some of the pump up chants they were trying to do to get the crowd going were like really pathetic.
I don't know.
So if that's what Rory was talking about, like that's embarrassing for the sport of golf. Fine, but yeah, the rest of it, grow up.
Yeah, it's not for me.
It's Grab Bag on Jones and Keefe.
Al Horford has finally signed with the Golden State Warriors. Terp said it was going to happen, I think, 3 months ago.
I was going to say, maybe if you listen to Pure Hoops with Terp, maybe the worst kept secret in the league.
Seriously.
But it is now official, yeah.
Now, I don't know what your – I think I do know your thoughts on this, but Sean Grandy tweeted out earlier. Did you see this?
No.
I don't know if you saw this.
No. I'm sure it was concise, right to the point.
So – he retweeted Al Horford, who thanked Celtics fans for his time here. And Grandy wrote, 42 to the rafters is very much in play.
No.
Please. Al Horford, though, for retirement?
Oh, I mean, like, they might, but they shouldn't. I'm a small rafter guy.
I mean, me too.
I am of a
a ceremony to bring them down and hand them out to the rookies. Like, hey, here's a fresh number for you. We're not using that anymore.
There should be like six
up there.
If Horford goes up, one has to come down.
If Horford goes up,
he should come back down.
What are you talking about?
Horford to the rafters?
Horford to the rafters.
Please.
Al Horford?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's another Horford maybe that I was missing. I'm not doing that.
Put Perk up there while you're at it.
Sure.
Yeah. Fifth starter on a
big
championship
team. Big Baby Davis.
Yeah.
Leon Poe had a good game.
Yeah,
put him up there.
The other big on a championship team. Yeah.
I gasped when I saw that.
Actually, he was a sixth man when Porzingis was healthy, actually. Put it up there.
Put him up there.
Okay.
Hang it high.
Now this looks like a top for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty without...
Grab bag.
If you're into preseason hockey, and I know that you are, the Bruins take on the Flyers tonight. Jeremy Swayman scheduled to play the whole game.
Oh, it's his net.
It's his net tonight. He's the first
like
off the ice. The
I like that.
Skate.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right. I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your
grab bag.
Malik Nabers, officially done for the season, the star wide receiver for the New York Giants, which another guy scheduled or on the Patriots schedule. That was already a game I would have given the Patriots anyway, just ahead of time. But, I mean, their one explosive playmaker is now gone.
Well, and it's just, it figures. Giants fans finally are getting excited about, hey, Jackson Dart's making his first start, and Cam Scataboo actually looks pretty good.
Scataboo.
And now Nabers is in his second year, and he's one of the best receivers in the league, and you lose him. So right when you're trying to get excited about something, it all gets tossed out the window. But, no, that makes the Pats-Giants game, which is scheduled for a Monday night game later this year even easier for the Pats. True.
Grab bag on Jones and Keith. Grab bag on Jones and Keith. Grab bag on Jones and Keith.
Grab bags rule.
Grab bag on Jones and Keith.
Grab bags on Jones and Keith.
Grab bags on Jones. Grab bag on Jones and Keith.
All right, let's take a look at the box office, Jones, from this past weekend. The number one movie in America.
Yeah.
One Battle After Another, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. Nick and I have both already seen this film.
There's been a lot of chatter about it in the breaks.
Well, not me, but some are saying it's the best movie of all time.
Best movie of all time.
Yeah, you know, that literally is, I think somebody wrote that.
I've seen that too. Wow.
A lot of other people are suggesting of the last 10 years.
Okay.
A little bit more of a modest, but yet still complimentary
that
take.
That seems like a take that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Yeah. The greatest movie of all time feels like one that's a take that stands out.
Yeah,
hot take.
So, Davey
is it
and
even
I.
His best movie?
Is it Leo's best?
No. Paul Thomas Anderson's.
I think Boogie Nights is pretty great. I would say Boogie Nights.
Magnolia is also really good.
Magnolia is good. There Will Be Blood maybe is more just like an incredible individual performance. But yeah, I like it better than some of the other ones that he's done. But this one, I'm guessing, will be like Oscar nominated and all that stuff.
Well, it's the best movie of all time. I hope it's nominated for an Oscar.
Although the Oscars is not always right.
That's a good point.
But Davey and I will do a full dork podcast on One Battle After Another, as well as Alien Earth, the show that I've mentioned a few times that ended last week. So that made $22 million, coming in at second in the box office. Gabby's Dollhouse, the movie.
Oh.
So, you know, I guess my kids aren't into this, so I'm not all that familiar. But Gabby's Dollhouse, live action movie. I think Kristen Wiig is in it.
Oh.
Made $14 million. The Conjuring Last Rites in its fourth week was third. The Strangers Chapter 2 in its first week. These movies are apparently trash.
Ew.
Like the new Strangers. The original Strangers is
Chapter
scary.
2. Chapter 1 was good.
Then that Demon Slayer.
Chapter 1 was horrible.
No, Chapter 1 was terrible. It's like a new launch.
Got it.
Yeah. It's
okay. Gotcha.
It's a horror movie, though, so it's cheap to make. They get excited about it, and then that's what you got. But anyway, there's the box office.
Turn on the radio, and you'll see two radio hosts playing grab ass. Grab bags make the sports game fun for each and every one.
Yeah.
All right, do you want your daily Rafael Devers update?
No.
For one final time.
This is it?
Yeah, I thought Friday was going to be it. But okay. No, this is it. This is it. Because they did not make the postseason.
No.
And they also fired their manager, Bob Melvin.
Oh.
Yeah, so Devers got the manager fired.
Oh, man. So yeah. Devers went there and already they're scapegoating somebody other. Okay. So Bob Melvin is fired there.
Bob Melvin.
That's unfortunate.
You're done.
Okay.
Yeah. It's.
He did homer yesterday, so he finishes.
Whee!
20 homers, 51 RBIs.
Okay.
The Giants were 10 games below 500 with him, 40-50, .236 batting average, .807 OPS. I can double check this. He was hitting like .195 in September. For everybody who goes, they really need the way he's going. I think he was hitting under .200 entering Saturday in the month of September.
Mm-hmm.
EA grab bag. It's in the game.
All right, Jones, it's a couple of days late, but we need to play it anyway. Friend of the show, Hogdale, on the call Friday night for the Sadon Rafaela walk-off.
Great.
Canley looks in. Pitch for Sadon. Swung on and lifted. Left center, no center field. High and deep. Back. Banks against the middle of the wall. Romy rounds around second. Coming around third. Comes home. And he walks it up. And for the first time since 2021, your Boston Red Sox are going back to the playoffs. We don't need to wait for the Astros to lose. You just win the game and you punch your ticket. You punch your ticket. We are back.
Nice.
Pretty good. Very excited.
I do. I think we clipped off the end there, but he does like all of a sudden go like real serious. This is what all big broadcasters do. They can go from high energy
and
to
for the first time since 2021.
Good stat.
The all-time leading tackler in the history of the Chiefs.
Spider-Man meme.
Yeah.
Sean McDonough Hogdale.
Yeah. So, you know, but he can go from, you know, high energy to very, very serious. Yeah. And I think Hogdale really shut off his chops there.
What I also like that you don't get on the radio broadcast, which I also love and I listen to quite a bit, is you don't get when somebody subscribes and you get that sounder. So when you're on Twitch.
Bruh.
Is that a subscription? That's
yeah,
a subscription?
I think you got a new subscriber,
oh,
maybe.
Nice.
Or somebody
I thought that was like a donation. I thought maybe you got like a donut. Somebody dropped the donut.
Sometimes it's you can have a sound notification for either one.
Nice.
If you had that during the Red Sox game, that'd be add that. You know,
add that.
A new listener popping in, you get to play.
Yeah,
something
you want to
like
flex on people.
Yeah,
you want to let them know.
I think that's pretty good. Yeah. I don't see why not.
Grabbag. You can call me Grab to Bag. Grabbag. You can call me Grab to Bag.
All right, Jones, let's find out who the best baseball performer was from the last day of the regular season, Sunday, September 28th. Was it Alejandro Kirk, who can't get thrown out
fast
on a hit to right field when you sock two dingers and you drive in six?
Wow.
Was it Jose Ramirez? 2 for 5, 3 steals.
I saw this.
And did it on Dollar Dog Night. Was it Mike Yastrzemski? 2 for 4, 2 home runs and a steal.
Uh-huh.
Was it Simeon Woods Richardson?
Oh, he's been in here a lot lately.
6 scoreless with 9 Ks.
Nice.
Or was it Shane Smith? 6 scoreless with 8 Ks.
Let's go Jose Ram.
You want Jose Ram?
Yeah, let's go Jose. Right. I can't give Kirk the award with the way he's moving around. I can't give it to Alejandro Kirk, so let's go Jose Ram.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All righty. We have a starting pitcher who had 13 big league seasons, pitched for 6 clubs over that time.
Sure.
The White Sox, Dodgers, Padres, Angels, Snakes, Rockies.
Okay.
One-time All-Star.
Yeah.
One-time World Series winner.
With whom?
The Chi Sox.
Okay.
The Southsiders, Jones.
Yep.
And that year, he finished 6th in the Cy Young.
Bam.
So one-time All-Star, received votes for the Cy Young once where he finished 6th, had 4 consecutive 200-plus inning seasons.
Oh, he's eating innings.
And even the seasons prior to and after that was like 191. The guy got the ball and went. He'd give you 32 starts, 33 starts every single year of his career where he went 136 and 125 with a 4.37 career ERA.
Okay, so Mark Burley is too. It's not Mark Burley.
It's not Mark Burley, and in fact, it's for sure not Mark Burley because this guy would throw it from the right side.
Ah.
Also, would dig in from the right side.
Okay, good to know.
If needed to bat.
Not James Shields.
Twitch chat has it. Text line.
Esteban Loaiza, we've had. Esteban Loaiza?
No, it's
we've
not.
Had Esteban
yeah,
Loaiza.
Just because we've had him doesn't really mean.
Yeah,
it's
I,
not
I don't know.
Be
I shouldn't cross that out. Who else is in that rotation?
Well, that's for you to find out.
I am trying to find out.
I feel like every time we have an 05 White Sox, like, who was that third?
Yeah,
fourth?
Honestly, yeah, that was.
How
guy.
Did they win?
They were so dominant that whole year, but that, like, honestly, you look back, you're like, who was it? AJ Pierzynski and what? Mark Burley? Who was even on that?
It was Smoke and Mirrors mainly.
There was
yeah,
one other
it was Mark
guy.
Burley.
There was one other guy. Who was it?
I think we've done two of the other guys in the rotation.
Was Loaiza one of them?
They had no. I don't think they did have Loaiza. They had a couple old dudes in there. He wasn't one of the said old dudes. He was like. Actually, a younger dude at the time.
At the time. I'm about to cave and look.
Mark Burley finished 5th in the Cy Young that year. He finished 6th. Those guys split votes.
I'm looking.
You got one?
Is it John Garland?
He got it!
The Red Sox win.
Yeah, I think
pretty random player.
I think of him as a Ranger, but that is quite random. Yeah. Yeah. John Garland, good one.
Why do you think of him as a Ranger?
I thought he was a Ranger.
I don't think he ever played for the Rangers.
Well, am I confusing him with somebody else?
Did I say Rangers? No, I didn't say Rangers.
Who does John Garland play for?
I just told you all the six teams.
Yeah, but that was before you told me John Garland. I remember it was
White Sox?
Who am I thinking of?
I have no idea. You're not thinking of the right guy. White Sox, Dodgers, Padres, Angels, Snakes, Rockies.
What was I saying?
You are thinking of Esteban Loaiza, and it's not him.
I can't get Loaiza out of my head. Okay, John Garland, your random ball player.
Freddie Garcia is a good guess, but he also pitched for the Mariners. And
we've also definitely had him, but again, that does not rule him out whatsoever.
No, it doesn't.
Nice facial hair going on John Garland. Kind of like a little flavor saver going on there in his baseball reference photo anyway.
The tickler.
Yeah, very, very tasteful. So that's every day in the grab bag here on Jones and Keith. Stay tuned. We'll check in with WEEI Afternoons. Ya got Hart. Ya got Fitzy. Ya got Drake May and Marcus Jones.
Woo!
Big Patriots Monday here today. Plus, you have the clip du jour next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. It's time for our clip du jour. Jones, are you ready for that?
Oh, sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And of course, it's a Patriots Monday, so we got a chance to speak with tight end Hunter Henry.
You're back in the end zone, another victory, so you know it's time for the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
It's time for the Hunter Henry surprise.
Henry, touchdown. Whoa.
Surprise. Sydney.
Hey, surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise. Surprise. We wasted the good surprise on you.
Golly, y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the week.
All right, once again, Hunter Henry, on a scale of 1 to 85, 85 being the most surprised you've ever been, 1 being you weren't surprised at all. How surprised were you in 2016 when a Cincinnati zoo worker shot and killed Harambe?
Oof, man, that one comes out of nowhere. I was probably 65.
I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
That's what Harambe is.
65. So, yeah. Again, it is less surprising than the Will Smith slapping of Chris Rock significantly, but also much more surprising than the twist at the end of The Sixth Sense
or Destiny's Child breaking up.
Right.
Yeah.
This is going to be a good graphic at the end of the year. Yeah. Just get the whole scale.
Don't say you're not learning anything about Hunter Henry when he comes
on. A great deal of Hunter Henry.
Each and every Patriots Monday.
That's off to a hell of a start, too.
Speaking of which, jam-packed Patriots Monday today.
Woo!
You got Drake May. You got Marcus Jones. You got Hart and Fitzy. What's going on, Andy?
We're where the stars come to play. WEEI Afternoons. Apparently stars of the game yesterday. I would even include Josh McDaniels, although I heard you kind
of you would.
Crapping on him a little bit earlier. He was in his bag.
It's easy to be in your bag when you're starting in Carolina's territory all day.
Yeah, but there was one stretch there. You remember that stretch where it was Austin Hooper for like 20 yards?
Yeah, that was a good
end around.
Yeah, that made
and
it,
then fake end around backside
it,
run.
That made it 14-6. That was a good drive.
He was feeling himself right there. He was dialing up some nice stuff.
I mean, Marcus Jones just returned one to the house, but yeah.
Yeah, I know they needed the little jolt that Marcus Jones gave them, but I'm saying once the offense had the ball, Josh McDaniels and Drake May, they were simpatico. You just, I don't care for that face.
He goes,
I don't care for that face.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think they started past their own 40 four different times yesterday.
Okay, well, you still got to go the other 60. Right.
Yeah,
they did. How many field goals they try? How many field goals they try?
It's a lot easier to go 60. Yeah.
Your rookie kicker went 6-for-6 on PATs. He didn't have to kick field goals.
Which was good, because that's been an issue in the past.
So which relationship has you more excited? Drake May with Stephon Diggs or Drake May with Josh McDaniels?
Who can we answer?
Go ahead.
May Diggs.
May Diggs.
Yeah, May Diggs. Yeah.
No, Diggs Cardi B after some of those clips from her podcast.
Is Stephon Diggs maybe the most interesting person around right now?
Yeah, no, he might be. More interesting than me. That's
on the field.
Yeah. He might be. Yeah.
Then he had this one comment that I kind of took as a positive. Like, he's 5 out of 10 in the offense. You're like, damn. If he gets to like 8 out of 10,
yeah.
And then whoa, I got to talk to him about that. Why is he failing right now? Study your playbook, idiot.
He didn't love
that. A lot of room to grow.
Mm-hmm. But yes, 3:15 Drake May, 3:30 Marcus Jones. The stars of the game come to EEI after this.
Okay.
Very good.
Check them out. Crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. Kids eat free at the 99 every Sunday in October. Kids can get a free meal from the kids menu with every adult entree purchase. You got to love the 9. Stay tuned. WEEI Afternoons with Drake May and Marcus Jones. We're back tomorrow at 10 on a Tier Tuesday, a Tom E. Tuesday. We got a Kiefer Madness for you as well. We'll talk to you at 10 tomorrow on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.